Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 14th of April, recording at 9:08 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. And this is our first recording since last Thursday before the Easter break. Well, so a quick look at the highlights here today, and also pretty much covering yesterday. Asian stock markets have just had an explosive run, with China surging yesterday, getting some follow through today. They've all been strong. The Hang Seng Index, Australia has had a good run. When I say they've all been strong, well, Thailand's closed because of the riots. Japan was down a little bit here today. Europe, which was closed on Good Friday and also yesterday, closed with some moderate gains in here today. Biggest looks to be the S&P MIB. No, the biggest is Sweden, up 3.69%. That's that tech and telecom-led influence. And Wall Street, Wall Street, I was going to say seesawed, but it was mostly in the minus column here today, and closed a little off the day's lows, but not much, down 2% on the S&P, slightly smaller declines on the Dow and the NASDAQ Composite Index. Elsewhere, we see a mixed U.S. dollar today. It's currently up just it's virtually unchanged here today. It is up against the euro, but down against the yen today. And the Antipodean currencies are a little easier here also. Asian currencies have been strong. The Singapore dollar surged against the greenback today. And what else to mention? Precious metals, they had a decent day yesterday, particularly platinum. Now, there's been some retracement of those gains in here today. And gold, as I speak, is at 890. Elsewhere, crude oil looks to be a little bit lower, 49.43. In the grain and bean complex, I see that we've got a decent gain by soybeans here today. Also, white sugar is up in the UK, and that's pretty much it. Okay, well, no, did I mention? Yes, I did mention currencies, and I didn't mention bonds, though. The long-dated government bond prices are steadier today, with more talk of governments buying their own paper, a version of quantitative easing, as you know. Okay, so what's going on here generally? Well, it's been a heck of a stock market run. For those that moved up today, it's that the rally is carried into the sixth consecutive week. Now, there are plenty of people around on Wall Street, judging from a brief glance at the financial channels, telling us that the rally is overextended and that it's unsustainable. And then you have sort of a division between the bulls who say, well, you buy a pullback because the lows are in, and the bears who say it's only a bear market rally and that the stock market indices will go back down and take out their lows. Their ranks have diminished, understandably, as the rally has continued. Now, on a short-term basis, there's no doubt that the rally is overextended. We have short-term overbought readings, but we had these 2 weeks ago as well. We even had them 3 weeks ago, and yet the rally has continued to march ahead. To me, that's very significant, and You may recall, among all the comments made here, that one of the important ones as this rally began from those March lows, that if it was going to be a good rally, and basically we thought it would be because China had remained so very, very firm while Wall Street had gone down to new lows, and therefore the Asian stock markets generally were firm as the Western indices hit new lows, or most of the Western indices hit new lows. And also the South American resources markets were very firm. So the comment was that if this was going to be a really good rally, it would be very persistent. If it was going to be an important rally, rather, it would be very persistent. And it certainly has been, and I would not begrudge it a reaction and consolidation. Now, as Owen and I have both said in previous audios, there's no confirmation that the Western indices, for the most part, have actually seen their end of bear market lows, but the confirmation doesn't come until much later. If we say, what's the last significant thing that those stock markets have done? It is that they saw downside failures where new lows were reached. And I think in Europe that was pretty well everything except for Sweden. So the last really significant thing we saw were downside failures and very persistent rallies back up into the trading ranges. Now, I give that the benefit of the doubt. In other words, I'll say that the odds favor that the lows are actually in, not just on the basis of that information, but the very strong and continued relative performance by the sectors that we like most, again, which are led by the Asian emerging markets and the South American resources markets. Although other resources markets have made a good late run here recently, and they include Canada, it's down a bit today, as is Brazil, which made the running, but Mexico, I'm seeing others, Mexico, South Africa, Australia, and New Zealand's been the laggard, but it certainly looks cheap overall, and has definitely steadied. So, all said and done, we have those what look like significant downside failures in the two Western epicenters of the financial and insolvency, credit and insolvency crisis. And we have evidence of base formation and base formations galore in other parts of the world, and of course evidence of the completion of a good many base formations, again led by China among the big stock markets. So that's not a bad environment at all. I would be a little cautious about chasing stock market prices higher here, but I don't feel any compulsion to bail out of the positions that I have. And for instance, I just did a quick scan yesterday when I checked in from home, looking at the positions in my long-term, largely SIPS pension and ISA accounts. I posted that list, I think, at the beginning of the month. And, you know, the additional gains that we've seen are very encouraging. Yes, for the most part, they're still well off the highs, but the trend has reversed, and that's what's important to me. Now, what else to mention in here? The long-dated government bonds. I think it's the same old situation. The value isn't there unless you believe that we really are going to have the ultimate deflationary crunch. I don't, because of all the quantitative easing and because of the economic strength that we're continuing to see from China, although I know there are many doubters about that, but I think they look wrong so far. And but so while we don't have the value in those long-dated government bonds, we do have a situation where the promise or threat by governments that they will go in to support their markets to keep long-term interest rates low may lead to extended ranging top formations in long-dated government bond prices. In other words, extended ranging bottom formations in long-dated government bond yields. Other interesting areas, currencies. I mentioned that Singapore dollar strengthening today. That looks good on the charts against the US dollar. I have a position there that I was thinking I should actually increase, and I wish I had, because it's gone quite well here today with the US getting a downward dynamic against Singapore dollar on a day when it was generally firm. But overall, I like Asian currencies. I think they're great recovery candidates following their weakness last year and at the beginning of this year. And I like the Antipodean currencies. They may well take a bit of a breather in here right now. The yen is perhaps a bit oversold in the short term, but not in the medium term, in my view. I think that the US dollar looks toppy overall, but so much currency activity is dominated by ranging that we have to expect more ranging than actual trending. In precious metals, this is not a great environment for them presently, as I've said before. They're still losing some support by the end of the world buyers, and that hasn't been fully offset by those who are buying because of the ongoing concern, which I think will always be with us. The ongoing concern over the loss of purchasing power among fiat currencies. But a good many people may feel that that's not an immediate problem given the deflationary pressures that we do see at this time. Also, we know there has been a lot of scrap brought to the market because of higher gold prices. And we've actually seen more scrap in the last few months than we have seen demand for jewelry. So that's weighed on those markets a little bit. I don't want to be out of gold. I don't want to have a big position at this stage, and I don't in terms of my futures stake, which is underwater at the moment. I may well roll it forward. I took some profits in copper, two-thirds of my profits in copper, because that had had a wonderful run recently. And I've got a couple of other transactions in there that if you follow my trades, you might want to have a look at in comment of the day. And I think that's pretty much it. So it's good to be back. Commenting on the markets, although I always enjoy a break as well. Lots of good reading time and family time. But meanwhile, all the very best to all of you until tomorrow.